Dr. Mark Job.
I am convinced that change starts with me. If I want to see change, I need to say, first of all, God, change me. Well, let's say that all together. God, change me.
How do you feel about change? Does it excite you or intimidate you? Welcome to Moody Presents, the teaching ministry of Moody Bible Institute's president, Dr. Mark Job. I'm John Gager, and today we're wrapping up our series, Be the Change. You know, I'm intrigued that we are heading back to the book of Exodus. Here we'll discover that you and I need to be a change agent. We're looking at the life of Moses. But now, here's Pastor Mark.
Many people, well, we like change and we hate change, all at the same time, right? Many of us want change when things are bad. But many of us resist change because we're accustomed to the way things are. Someone once said, no one likes change except a baby with a dirty diaper. Some people embrace change more rapidly. Some people resist all change at all. Some people resist change all their life. Some people don't like change. One of my sons, my youngest son, he likes things to stay the same. So if my wife ever got her hair cut, he would say, Mom, why'd you get your hair cut? We had an old van, and it was almost run into the ground, and we got a newer one we were excited about. He says, I kind of like the old one better. He just wanted things to stay the same. And some people find their security when things stay the same. Many of us complain about the way things are. The city needs a change. Our taxes need to be lowered. Young people need to get on target. Violence needs to decrease. We look at our city, we look at our neighborhood, we look at our country, and we talk about change and wanting change. But oftentimes we believe that change is up to other people, not up to us. We think the president should change the country. We think the mayor should improve Chicago. We think the principals should change our educational system. And so we want change, but we point to other people to bring about the change. We say, if people would only change the way things are. Well, that's easy to say. It's easy to sit back in our armchair and complain about the way things are and say that this world needs to change. But this series is not about that. Because I am convinced that change starts with me. If I want to see change, I need to say, first of all, God, change me. Well, let's say that all together. God, change me. You want to see change in your family? Stop praying. Oh, I'm not saying you can't keep praying for your wife that God will change your attitude, but maybe you need to say, oh, God, change my attitude towards my wife. Change me, God. Well, I'm not saying that you can't pray for your prodigal teenage son that he would change around, but maybe you need to say, oh, God, change me towards my son. Start giving me a different attitude towards him. Oh, I'm not saying that you can't ask that God would change the atmosphere in your job, but maybe you need to say, oh, God, change me as I am in this atmosphere that you've put me in. God, first of all, change me. I remember hearing a story of an evangelist that lived years and years ago, I think in the early 1800s, and Gypsy Smith, they called him. And he was famous for saying, if you want revival to happen, what you need to do is you need to draw a circle on the ground. Draw a circle on the ground. Then you need to get inside of that circle, and you need to pray, oh God, change what's in this circle, and don't leave that circle until God changes you. His point was, change starts with us. So I'm going to talk to you today about how to change you and how you can be an agent of change. In fact, let me tell you, I'm convinced that when the church rises up to be all that God has called it to be, that we become agents of change. I like that. Change agents. So my challenge Over the next couple of years, actually, I'm challenging every single one of you here to say, God, can I become a change agent? Not only, God, can you change me, but can I become a change agent in my environment? Wherever you've called me to be, God, I want to be a change agent. So I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to a portion of Scripture that's found in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Number one, a commitment to pray like you've never prayed before. Secondly, as change agents, I'm asking you to serve. I'm asking you to find a place to serve in and out of the church that makes a difference and stretches you. I believe change agents need to see that their life is bigger than just themselves. And I'm asking you to try to find a place in the church, but outside of the church as well. I believe that service doesn't just happen in the four walls of the church, but it happens outside. And you need to discover what that means in your neighborhood, in your community, what you're doing. But I believe that all of us have been called to be agents of change that way. Thirdly, I'm going to ask everybody that wants to be a change agent not only to pray, not only to serve, but also to bring people into the presence of God to see their lives changed. Do you realize that you have neighbors right now that desperately need God, but they don't know it? It's like people that need a bypass surgery, but they don't know it. Your neighbor right now, some of you have coworkers that your coworker thinks he needs a new wife to make him happy. But really what he needs is God to change his life. Some of you have neighbors that think what they need is a promotion in their job to fulfill them, but what they really need is to encounter God in a way that changes them from the inside out. Some of you right now have people in your life that think, well, what I need is I need to move to Texas where the weather's warmer and I don't get depressed because the sun is shining. So they think what I need is Texas, but what they really need is Jesus. They don't know it, but that's really what they need. All of us have people in our lives that desperately need something. Now, they're not even looking to God, not looking to church. And when you invite them, they may not even realize that they desperately need what you have. And so I want us to bring people into the presence of God to have them experience the power and the presence of God. So, change agents, I want you to pray, I want you to serve, I want you to bring, and number four, I want you to give. I believe that we can never be change agents unless we choose to give. And when I talk about giving, I'm talking about giving of yourself, releasing of yourself. The more we release, the more we increase. And when I talk about giving, I'm talking about giving of your time, I'm talking about giving of your gifting, but I'm also talking about giving of your treasures, of your finances. I believe the Bible talks about this. Wherever our treasure is, our heart will be also. And wherever we put our treasure, our heart follows as well. So I'm going to ask you to give of the resources that you have to the things of the kingdom of God by tithes and offerings and by be the change, by giving to be the change. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the future. So, pray, serve, bring, and give. Exodus chapter 17. This is a story about a man that brought about change to other people, but first of all, he had to step into his place. And I think that change starts when we actually decide to step in our God-given position. Not only step into our God-given place, but step in with our God-given position. This story is a story that you may remember. It's a great story. It's a story about Moses and a battle that Moses won because he stepped into the right place and he took on the right position. It says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Ur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. I want you to scroll down to what it says in verse 15. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be a war against the Amalekites from generation to generation."
That's Pastor Mark Job here on Moody Presents. We're looking at the life of Moses for some insights on how you and I can be the change we're called to be in our walk with God. To help you with that walk, why not visit our website? It's moodypresents.org. There you'll be able to listen to past Moody Presents programs, browse the complete line of Moody Publishers books, learn more about how you can study at the Moody Bible Institute, and a whole lot more. It's all at moodypresents.org. Well, let's get back to Pastor Mark and our series about finances.
Being in the right place in the right position. I believe that many of us, well, when we talk about change, many of us want to move positions or move cities or change something on the outside. But I believe that most of us, change is going to mean not necessarily getting out of where we're at, but I believe that most of it is changing where we're at. Now, as we talk about change, I believe, well, I coached Little League soccer for a while. My son Josiah played soccer. My daughter Marissa for a little while played soccer. Boy, there's a big difference between coaching girls and boys in soccer. And then my son Grant played soccer for a while. When you're coaching little kids in soccer, well, here's how little kids play soccer. The ball goes out there, and everybody chases the ball and tries to hit it as hard as they can. And so when you're playing with little kids, there's just a big crowd of people chasing against the ball. They don't really understand what? Position. And so as a soccer coach, I kept telling these kids, play your position. You're a defense, not a forward. I know, coach, but the ball's up there. I know the ball's up there. But I want you to stay in front of the goal to defend the ball. I want you to pass. Play your position. Don't just chase the ball all around the field. And so with little kids, you say, position, position, position. Play your position. You can't leave your position. You need to be in position, because if you're not in position, you lose the game. If you don't play your position, spiritually, it's the same way. We have to be in the right place, in the right position, if we're going to win. Many of us are in the right place, but we have the wrong position. Some of us are in the wrong place with the wrong position. Now, I want you to understand a couple things about this, and I want you to jot notes if you're taking notes today about be the change and stepping into the place of influence and change. Number one. You must understand the place and the position that God has called you to. Write it down. You must understand the place and the position that God has called you to. The people of Israel were traveling through the desert, and this group of people called the Amalekites, they attacked, well, they did something really underhanded. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 through 18, remember what the Amalekite did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Well, who's at the back of the crowd? The women, the children, the elderly, the people that are tired, the people that are trying to keep up with the rest. And so the Amalekites went about this in a real underhanded way. They attacked the weak and the poor. And so a battle ensued. This is the first time in Scripture that we see the name Joshua mentioned. And it tells us in Scripture that Moses, who was already, well, he was over 80 years old at the time. Moses saw this battle happening, so he chose young Joshua, who was a warrior, the first time we see the mention. And he told to Joshua, I want you to fight the battle. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on this hill that overlooks the battle, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for victory. I'm going to pray that we will win this battle. So this aged Moses goes up onto a hill as they're fighting this battle. And the Bible says that Moses raised his hands towards the throne of God. He was praying, "Oh God, help us win this battle. Oh God, we need your intervention." And something interesting happened. When Moses, in his place, got into the position of prayer and hands were raised to God, then suddenly the Israelites would beat the Amalekites. But when Moses lowered his hands, then the Amalekites would start overcoming the Israelites. So when Moses' hands went up, the Israelites suddenly would win. When Moses' hands went down, the Amalekites would win. His position and his place determined whether people were getting victory or not. Now, many of you don't understand that you have influence in life. I believe that all of us have some sort of influence. But many of you don't understand that you have influence that splashes over to other people. There are some men in this auditorium right now, in this, that you look at some of your family members and how they're struggling, and you look at your household and you're unhappy with how your household is doing. And you say, "I don't know what's wrong with my kids. I don't know what's wrong with my wife. I don't know what's wrong with my family. They just need to get their act together. I mean, I've provided a lot for them. I've worked really hard to really give them a stable household. What's wrong with my family?" And what you may not realize is that, well, that you have a greater influence than what you think you have. And some men are great providers, but we're not good spiritual leaders because we never learned to be a spiritual leader. And so you've provided well, but you haven't led spiritually well. And I believe that when you start getting right with God, when you start getting your own heart right with God, when God starts getting a hold of you and you start taking initiative in your household, then suddenly you get into your place, the right position, and you start splashing that on the rest of your family. And I'm challenging you, if you're a position of leadership, to step into the right place and start living the way God wants you. Be that spiritual leader and let's see the effect it has on your family. Moses, the leader of this group, when he raised his hand to God and he was in the right position, it influenced whether they won or lost. When he lowered his hands, they started losing. When he was in the right position, they started winning. Why? Because he had influence, and when God was changing him, he was influencing others as well. It's a principle throughout Scripture. You are not an island. You have influence on other people. If you want to see change happen, you start saying, "God, change me." And as you change me, let it start spilling over to people around me. Number two, you can be in the right place, but in the wrong position. You see, when Moses changed his position, the blessing stopped flowing. That's interesting. Moses was on the hill. He was the leader. He was in the right place. But when you're in the wrong position, even though you're in the right place, people around you are still affected by it. When Moses got into the right position, and that position was a position of surrender to God, when he raised his hands to God, he was basically saying, "God, this battle is yours. I can't win it on my own. I'm praying, interceding to you." He was in the right place on the top of the mountain, but they were still losing. But when he got in the right position, then they started winning. Are you hearing me? There are times in life where you don't need a change, you don't need to move somewhere, you don't need to go somewhere, you don't need to get a divorce, you don't need to switch jobs, you just need to get in the right position in the place that you're at. You need to say, God, I want to get in the right position in the job that I'm at. I want to get my heart in the right place so I can influence the people where I'm at. Some of you don't need to move out of your block, because you're the only God witness that people will ever see. Maybe God figured that your block needed you. Number three, your place of influence affects your life, but also many lives around you. Notice what it says in verse 11. And as long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. I call this the splash effect. Moses did not just affect his life, but the lives of all those that he was leading. You see, I believe that no man is an island. I believe that we all have influence on other people and that there's domino effects that happen. I believe that you are affected by your parents and your grandparents, and I believe that all of us are influenced by other people. I don't believe your destiny is determined by others, but I believe you are influenced by others, and you can choose what kind of influence you're going to be. Most of you here probably don't know the name of Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was just a Sunday school teacher. On July 1st of 1885, Edward Kimball visited the home of one of his Sunday school students that he thought, this guy doesn't really know the Lord. And so he visited him. His student worked at a shoe shop, kind of like a Payless. And he visited him at the shoe shop. His student's name was Dwight. His last name was Moody. Dwight L. Moody. He visited him and he said, I'm concerned about you because I'm not really sure you know the Lord. And I know you come to my Sunday school, but I want to talk to you. He was kind of reticent in the beginning, but he decided he was going to share with them. And so he talked to him about the Lord. And right there in that shoe shop, D.L. Moody gave his life to the Lord. He was just a young guy. D.L. Moody, as you may know the story, ended up helping found Moody Bible Institute, led thousands of people to Christ, did crusades in a bunch of different places in England as well. And you may know that he became one of the greatest evangelists of his generation because this guy decided that he would be an influence. He would have an impact. Well, it was several years later that a well-known pastor by the name of Meyer heard Moody preach. Meyer was so deeply stirred by Moody's preaching that he himself decided that he would do evangelism as well. And so he got out of his comfort zone and he started doing crusades and leading other people to Christ. While he was at a college doing this crusade, telling people about Jesus, a student by the name of Chapman accepted Christ. And as a result of that gospel presentation, Chapman employed a baseball player to help him prepare to conduct his evangelistic crusades. As he employed that baseball player was influenced by that. His name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday also became an evangelist. In 1924, a group of businessmen invited Billy Sunday to hold an evangelistic campaign in Charlotte, North Carolina. This was just at a tent meeting place. Billy Sunday preached with a lot of fire, a lot of drama. And at that evangelistic crusade in 1934, a young, lanky man came forward to give his life to Christ. He preached a lot, not a lot of people came to Christ. It wasn't like this booming success. But a tall, lanky man, about 18 years old, received Christ. His name was Billy Graham, who went on to lead thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ. Well, hold on a second. Wait. Where did this change start? Edward Kimball. Who was Edward Kimball? Sunday school teacher. Sunday school teacher that decided to take his job seriously. You don't have to be on a stage to make a great impact for God.
Be faithful where you are. That story is a fitting conclusion to our series, Be the Change. Now, next week, it's a brand new series about the life of the biblical character, Joseph. And God has a plan and a destiny for you, just as He did for Joseph. But life's twists and turns can derail you, right? Well, find out how to stay on track next week. Now, if Pastor Mark's teaching connects with you, we invite you to become part of the team that keeps this broadcast on the air. You'll find a Donate Now button at moodypresents.org. That's moodypresents.org. I'm John Gager. Hey, see you next time on Moody Presents, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.